When the person called James in 1891 came up on the Wales Valley, it says that his skin was bleach. It was whiter than what they call white. And he probably looks like an albino, perhaps whiter than an albino. And some people think that that was a sign. Here comes this ghost man walking about. Repent! In 40 days, this city will be destroyed. And this ghost man walking up and down the town. And the town was so huge, it takes 3 days to walk through. And a lot of people, when they see this ghost man, they quickly repent. It's too scary. And Jonah has now a story. You better repent. Look at me. Right. The people heard the message of repentance. And in verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed, proclaim a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. Then the king of Nineveh heard about that, and he proclaimed a fast in verse 7, and he published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, cry mightily to God. And who can tell, in verse 9, if God will relent, turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish. The king proclaimed a powerful fast to seek the mercy of God. Here is an important truth. Although forgiveness was not mentioned in Jonah's prophecy, he just mentioned in 40 days the city will be destroyed. Knowing Jonah, his attitude hasn't really changed. So Jonah didn't go and say, better repent. Hey, repent. God's going to destroy. No, he said, you fellows are going to be destroyed. 40 days. 40 days. You know why? He wants it to be destroyed still. That's how he proclaimed it. And here's a ghost man walking up and down, frightening everybody out of their wits. We know from chapter 4 that he still wanted them to be destroyed. So he said, you fellow gun will destroy in 40 days. 40 days, that's all. 40 days. No chance. 40 days. It was a prophecy of doom. Remember this. If any true prophet, and I believe that true prophets can bring sometimes a very hard, tough message, but they will always be torn up with a message of hope. But let's say a person did not accurately hear God. See, sometimes people receive prophecy in part and they don't receive the whole. And their prophecies, although let's say quite true or has some element of truth inside, but with human fallibility here and there, has a very doomsday kind of message. Then remember this. Every prophecy that leans towards doomsday can be reverted to prayer. Whenever God warns of destruction, this is a Bible pattern, even if in that warning an alternative hope was not given, knowing God, you can always still pray. You don't have to accept it and say, 40 days are destroyed. Stated lah. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. For in 40 days we will die. See, that's the attitude people will take if they take it as faith. With God, there is still mercy. Even if any true prophet brings a lot of false prophets through, bring doomsday prophecy. Why? Because they like to be Dr. Doom. Remember, a true prophet must bring for edification. what happened? Why do sometimes some genuine Christians operate the gift of prophecy and give a very negative one? It's because they operate in part. They don't give the whole. They don't have the whole contextual understanding of God's dispensational working. So they give only a small portion, and sometimes it doesn't seem to edify. And remember, even if such things happen, and if even a true prophet gives a message and warns, we cannot take the attitude, well, que sera, sera. Whatever will be. Will I be doom? Will I be boom? Will it will always be gloom? Cannot change? No! We can change! Even old King Ahab was told by Elijah. Elijah came to him in Naboth's vineyard. Ahab and Jezebel plotted, more Jezebel. They killed Naboth innocently, and Ahab went and claimed that vineyard whom he desired and coveted. And as he went to claim it and walking around surveying that vineyard, here comes Elijah, and Elijah says, because you do this, you will die. Immediately Ahab... Now, Elijah didn't give a promise of repentance. Even though old bad Ahab, evil as he was, when he turned to God, God said, I won't bring it on his time because he humbled himself. It's amazing. If you begin to understand God, you will really call him Papa God, which is a true word for Abba Father. See, we all learn Bible language. Justification, sanctification. Unbeliever come, don't understand what we're talking about. And then we use titles like Abba Father. And then the unbelievers come in, oh, this Abba must be a fantastic title. But the word Abba Father, the word Abba actually means daddy. Daddy. That's what the real Greek and Hebrew is. Daddy. Oh, Papa God. And most of us Asians don't call our daddies, or don't call our father daddies or dad. Some do, I know. Right? Some say dad or daddy. Most Asians call their father by pa or papa. So for us, if you contextualize the understanding of what Abba Father is, it will mean Papa. I used to call my father Pa'a. But it's your most intimate language of addressing your own father. God brings it into the spiritual sense with that word. So Abba is not a special title. It's an intimate love language between children and the father. And when God gave me the revelation of Father God, and I always called God Father God in the early days of my Christian life, I say Father God, and sometimes you feel a little bit more religious and spiritual, you say Most Gracious Heavenly Father. And as I grew in my relationship with God, knowing that God is my Father, one day that was many years ago. It was about 1985. And as I was praying, I had spent quite a number of hours in prayer. I remember that day I spent about after 6 hours of praying or so. And I felt the Spirit of God began to draw me into the Father. And then there was a revelation that came, and I heard the Spirit say, your father is your papa. Address him as such. I didn't know the Holy Spirit will work on us that way. But you read Romans 8, it tells you that the Spirit within us cried, Abba Father. I mean, I was born again in 1974. And 1974 to 1985, 11 years, I call him Father, gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty Father, Almighty God, 11 years. And the long-suffering Holy Spirit has been working in my life, trying his best to get Romans 8 fulfilled in my life. Took me 11 years. I hope it takes you all shorter. 11 years he was trying to get me to address God as he wanted in verse 15 of Romans 8. We receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So after 11 years of working, he finally got through the thick years. And I heard him say, he is your papa. Call him your papa. I look up at the ceiling and I felt very uncomfortable. Because I had never addressed God as papa. But since it was the Holy Spirit asking, I looked up to him and said, Papa God. And I felt embarrassed. Although there was nobody there, I felt embarrassed. I felt most uncomfortable. I said, something inside me, I'm not sure whether I really respected God. Until I realized, when I began to call God, Papa God, Papa God. And it took me a few minutes, which felt like hours, to get used to it. And I started calling Papa God. After a few minutes, I felt the heavens open, and it felt like a liquid love flow upon me, which is something quite precious to me, the experience. And I broke out in a new tongue. I literally felt like what Acts 2 felt. I was trembling and shaking, and then I started weeping. Started crying for an hour at least. And for the first time in my Christian life, I realized that God was really my daddy. I had known it theologically, but after 11 years, I finally experienced him as my daddy. Now, I'm comfortable with him. He's someone I run to all the time. When I make a mistake, I know I can come to daddy. When I fail, I know I can come to Papa God. When I'm down, I know I can go to Papa God. And that is the relationship that's the most precious thing in my life. And I praise God that that's what God wants to bring us to in our experience with God. And so, because of that love of God, remember that somehow, no matter how circumstances look or what the prophecies of doom or a negative thing comes, in the heart or heart of God, if you ask, he really still forgives. Which is why David, who understood God, very few people really understand Papa God. Many people know him as God the Father, but very few know him as Papa. I can assure you, very few know him as Papa. They only know him as Almighty Father. He is Almighty, I have no doubt about that. I don't doubt his power, his omniscience, omnipotence. But deep in all our hearts, we are all starving for a true Father's love. Every human being wants love. Whether you're 120 years old or just a young little child, we all want love. And although human relationships and fellowship is wonderful and helps us to know more about God, there's nothing like experiencing the agape love of the Father. It changes your life. That's what God came to do, to love all of us. Sometime after that, I had a vision when God showed me the world. And I was...